Leo Tolstoy's What Men Live By, presented by Max Heistein and thehealingwaterfall.com. Part 3. Another year passed by. 2 years passed by. It was now the 6th year of Michael staying with Simon. He lived just in the same way as before. He went nowhere and spoke to no stranger. And the whole of that time he'd smiled only twice. Once when Matrina first had prepared supper for him, and once when the great gentleman had come to the house. Simon was delighted with Michael as his workman. He no longer asked where he came from. His only fear was that Michael would someday leave him. One day they were all sitting at home. Wife Matrina was putting an iron pot on the stove, and the children were running along the benches, looking out the windows. Simon was stitching in one window, and Michael was hammering the heel of a boot at the other. One of the little boys came along the bench up to Michael, leaned against his shoulder, and looked out the window. "Look, Uncle Michael, a lady is coming with her children to our house, and one of the little girls is lame." As soon as the boy said this, Michael threw down his work, turned to the window, and looked out into the road. Simon was surprised. Michael had not once looked into the road before, but now he'd rushed to the window and was looking at something or other. Simon also looked out the window, and he saw a lady coming straight towards his door. Her clothing was elegant, and by the hand she led 2 little girls in furs with kerchiefs round their heads. The children were as alike as 2 peas. It was impossible to tell one from the other. Only one of them was lame in one foot and limped as she walked. The lady went up the stairs to the passage, stepped to the door, groped for the latch, and opened the door. She pushed her 2 little children on before her and entered the house. "Good health, my masters. Please come in. What can we do for you?" The lady sat down on a chair. The children, shy, pressed close to her knees. The good people looked on and wondered. "Look now," said the lady, "will you sew me leather shoes for the children for spring?" "I guess we can do that. We don't usually make little shoes for children, but we can do so, of course. You can have them with welted or one-piece uppers and leather-lined. My Michael here is a master at his trade." Simon glanced toward Michael and saw that he'd thrown down his work and was gazing at the children. He couldn't take his eyes from them. Simon was surprised at Michael. It's true they were nice children, black-eyed, plump-cheeked, rosy-faced, and their little furs and frocks were also very nice. But Simon couldn't understand why Michael should take an interest in them as if he'd recognized them from before. Simon was surprised, but he began to talk to the lady and settle about the work to be done. They arranged it, and he got ready to take measurements. Then the lady took the lame little girl on her lap and said, "Take the measurements from this little one. Make 1 shoe for her left foot and 3 from the measurements of the right foot. Both girls have the same shape of foot, as alike as 2 peas. They're twins." Simon took the tiny measurements and said to the lame little girl, "How did this happen to you? Such a nice little girl as you are, too. Were you born with it?" "No," said the lady. "Her mother did it." Matrina then drew near. She wanted to know who the woman was and all about the twins. "Then you're not their mother?" she asked. "I'm not their mother, nor indeed any relation. They were quite strangers to me, but I adopted them." "They're not your children, eh? Yet you seem very fond of them." "Why shouldn't I be fond of them? I fed them both from my breast. I had a child of my own, but God took him. Yet I couldn't love my own child more than I love these." "Whose children are they, then?" The woman began to speak, and this is what she said. "It's now 6 years ago," said she, "since the parents of these orphans both died in 1 week. The father died on Tuesday, and they buried the mother on the Saturday. These poor little things were born 3 days after their father died, and their mother didn't live out the day of their birth. My husband and I lived at that time in the village. We were their neighbors. We dwelt side by side. The father of these children was a solitary man. He worked as a woodcutter. One day they were felling a tree, and it landed right on him. All his insides were crushed. Scarcely had they brought him home than he gave up his soul to God, and his wife, the same week, bore these two little children. There was nothing in that house but poverty and loneliness. There was neither a nurse nor a midwife. Alone she bore them, and alone she died. I went in the morning to look after my neighbor. By the time I came to the hut, the poor thing was already cold. In her agony, she'd rolled upon this little girl. She'd rolled upon this little girl, I say, and broken her leg. The people came together. They washed and tidied the body. They made a grave and buried her. They were all good people. The children remained all alone. What was to be done with them? I was the only woman of them all just then who had a suckling. I'd been nourishing my dear little boy for 8 weeks. I took the twin babies to my own house for the meantime. The farmers came together. They thought and thought what to do with the children, and they said to me, "Maria, keep the children for a time at your house and give us time to think the matter over." At first, I gave my breast only to the well child, and the one that had been injured I didn't feed at all. I didn't expect her to live. But soon I thought to myself, "How can you bear to see this little angel face pining away?" So I began to feed it also. I fed my own, and these two as well. 3 at my breast I fed. I was young and strong, and I had good food. God gave me an abundance of milk. I used to feed 2 at a time while the third waited. Then I would remove one and feed the third. God helped me to nourish all 3, but in the 2nd year I buried my own child, and God gave me no more children, although we began to prosper. We live now at the mill with the grain dealer. My husband gets good pay, and our life is pleasant, but we have no children of our own. How could I bear to live if it were not for these children? And how dear they are to me. Without them, I'd be a candle without wax. With one hand, the lady pressed the lame little girl to her side, and with the other, she wiped the tears from her cheeks. "It is plain," said Matrena, "that the proverb is true, which says, 'We can live without father and mother, but we cannot live without God.'" So they went on talking, and the woman rose to go. As the shoemaker conducted her out, the room became bright with light. They looked at Michael. He was sitting with his hands folded on his knees. He looked upwards with a smile, and there was a light all around him. Simon went up to him. "What is it, Michael?" he said. Michael stood up and put down his work. Then he took off his apron, bowed to his host and hostess, and said, "Farewell, my host and hostess. God has forgiven me, and you must forgive me too." And the shoemaker and his wife saw that the radiance came from Michael. So Simon stood up and bowed low to Michael and said to him, "I see, Michael, that you are no mere man, and I'm not able to keep you. Tell me, nevertheless, this one thing. Why, when I found you and brought you to my home, were you so sad? And why, when my Matrena gave you food that first night, did you smile and from then on brighten up? Then again, when the great gentleman ordered the boots, you smiled a second time, and from that time forth you became brighter still. Now, when the lady brought these children for their shoes, you smiled a third time and grew exceedingly bright. Tell me now, Michael, what is this light, and why did you smile these three times? And Michael said, Light comes forth from me, because although I was punished, God has now forgiven me. I smiled three times because God sent me to learn three divine lessons. Now I've learned them. I learned the first divine lesson when your wife had compassion on me, and then I smiled for the first time. I learned the second divine lesson when the great man ordered his boots, and so I smiled the second time. And just now, when I saw the children, I learned the third divine lesson, and I smiled for the third time. Simon said, Tell me now, Michael, why did God punish you, and what are those divine lessons, so that I may learn them too? And Michael answered, God punished me because I was not obedient. I was an angel in heaven, and God sent me to take away the soul of a woman. I flew down to earth and saw there a woman who lay sick. She'd just given birth to two little twin girls. They moved weakly beside their mother, and she was too weak to be able to put them to her breasts. The woman saw me and understood that God had sent me for her soul. She burst into tears and said, Angel of God, they've only just buried my husband. He was struck dead by a tree. I have neither sister, nor aunt, nor grandmother, nor anyone at all to bring up my poor orphans. Do not take away my poor, wretched soul. Let me but feed and nourish my little children till they can stand on their own feet. How can the children live to grow up with neither father nor mother? And I listened to the mother. I laid one child on her breast and put the other child in her arms, and I ascended to the Lord in heaven. I flew up to the Lord and said to him, I cannot take away the soul from that poor mother. The father was killed by a tree, and the mother's born twins, and she prayed me not to take the soul from her, and said, Let me but feed and nourish my little children till they can stand upon their feet. How can the children live to grow up with neither father nor mother? And so I did not take the soul of the poor mother. And then God said, Go and fetch hither the soul of the mother, and learn three lessons. Thou shalt learn what is given to men, what is not given to men, and what men live by. When thou hast learned these things, thou shalt return to heaven. And I flew back again upon the earth and took away the soul of the woman. The little ones fell from her breast. The dead body fell back upon the bed, pressed upon one of the little children, and broke her leg. I rose above the village. I was carrying the soul to God. Then a blast of cold wind caught me. My wings drooped down and fell off, and the soul went alone to God. But I fell to the earth by the wayside. And Simon and Matrena understood who it was they had clothed and fed, and who had lived with them. And so they wept for fear and joy. And the angel said, I was alone in the open field and naked. Never had I known before the needs of man. Never had I known hunger and cold and what it is to be a man. I grew more and more hungry. I was freezing. I knew not what to do. I looked around, and I saw in the field a shrine made for God. I went to the shrine of God. I wanted to shelter myself in it, but the shrine was locked with bar and bolt. There was no getting into it. I sat myself down by the shrine to be sheltered from the wind. Evening drew on. My hunger grew. I was freezing and racked with pain. All at once I heard a man coming along. He was carrying boots and talking to himself. It was the first time I had seen a human face while feeling what it was like to be a man. I had a dread of this face and turned away from it. And I heard how this man was talking to himself, and how he asked himself how he was to protect his body against the cold of winter and provide for his wife and children. And I thought to myself, here am I, perishing from cold and hunger, but this man can never help me because he can only think of how he's to clothe himself against the winter and provide his family with bread. Then the man saw me and was troubled. Then a still greater fear seized him, and he hurried by. I was in despair. Suddenly, I heard the man coming back. I looked and could not recognize the man I'd seen before. Then there'd been death in his face. But now, he'd suddenly become a living soul, and in his face, I recognized God. He came to me, clothed me, took me with him, and led me to his house. I entered his house. His wife came out to meet us and began to speak. The woman was even more dreadful than her husband had been. The spirit of death came from her mouth, and I couldn't breathe in the deathly air around her. She wished to drive me forth into the cold, and I knew that if she drove me forth, she would die. Then, all at once, her husband reminded her of God, and a great change suddenly came over the woman. And when she gave me some supper, she looked at me, and I looked at her, and death was no longer upon her. She was a living soul, and I recognized God in her. And I remembered the first lesson of God: thou shalt learn what is given to men. Then I knew that love has been given to men to dwell in their hearts, and I rejoiced that God had begun to reveal to me what he had promised, and I smiled for the first time. But I was not yet able to understand everything. I didn't understand what is not given to men, nor what men live by. I began to live with you, and a year went by. And the man came and ordered boots, boots that would last a year, and neither loosen nor split. And I looked at him, and suddenly I saw behind him my companion, the angel of death. No one but me saw this angel, but I knew him, and I knew also that before the sun went down, he would take away the soul of the rich man. I thought to myself, this man makes plans for a year, and he knows not that he will die before tonight. And I remembered the second lesson of God: thou shalt learn what is not given to men. What mankind was given, I already knew. Now I knew what is not given to mankind. It is not given to men to know their own needs. And I smiled the second time, and I rejoiced that I'd seen my companion angel, and that God had revealed to me the second lesson. But I was not yet able to understand everything. I was not able to understand yet what men live by. And I lived on and waited until God should reveal that last lesson to me. Then, in the sixth year, came the woman with the twin children. And I knew the children, and I knew that they'd been kept alive. I knew it, and I thought, the mother begged me to spare her, to save her children, and I believed the mother. I thought that without father or mother, it was impossible for children to live. And lo, a strange woman has nourished them and brought them up. And when the woman wept with joy over another's children, I saw in her the living God, and knew what men live by. I knew that God had revealed the last lesson to me, and had forgiven me, and I smiled for the third time. And the clothes fell from the body of the angel, and he was clothed with light, so that no eye could bear to look upon him. And he began to speak more powerfully, as if his voice did not come from him, but from heaven. And the angel said, I learned that people do not live by care for themselves, but by love for others. It was not given the mother to know what was needed for the life of her children. It was not given to the rich man to know what was needed for himself. And it's not given to anyone to know whether by evening they will want boots for their living body or slippers for their corpse. When I came to earth as a man, I lived not by care for myself, but by the love that was in the heart of a passerby and his wife, and because they were kind and merciful to me. The orphans lived not by any care they had for themselves. They lived through the love that was in the heart of a stranger, a woman who was kind and merciful to them. And all people live not by care they have for themselves, but by the love for them that is in other people. I knew before that God gives life to people and desires them to live. But now I know far more. I know that God does not desire people to live apart from each other, and therefore has not revealed to them what is needed for each of them to live by themselves. He wishes them to live together, united, and therefore has revealed to them that they're necessary for each other's happiness. I know now that people only seem to live when they care only for themselves, and that it is by love for others that they really live. He who has love has God in him and is in God, because God is love. And the angel sang the glory of God, that the house trembled at his voice, and the roof parted asunder, and a pillar of fire shot up from earth to heaven. Simon and his wife fell down with their faces to the ground, and wings burst forth from the angel's shoulders, and he rose into heaven. And when Simon raised his eyes again, the house stood there as before, and in the house there was no one but his own dear family.